council rules to ensure that everybody gets an opportunity to be heard. If people shout out and disrupt, people can't be heard. And my responsibility is to make sure, listen, this is where we conduct the city's business. If you're here to testify on the matter before the city council, this is the time to do it. If you're not, then let's find a different time and a different place to have that conversation. Good morning. Please, yes. Thank you.
So I probably just represent the marginalized community in Portland when we say that that is not going to help us in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We need boots on the ground. I'm not going to sit here and say this whole speech was about the smart city thing because I really want to know why it was that you felt not compelled to come out and lace your Nikes up and stand on the front lines with the rest of us and say, not in our city. We all grew up here, and we were there peacefully. Peacefully, I spent 24 hours at OHSU Hospital with my sister that you had ejected from Chambers. She's paralyzed on the left side and might not ever walk again. But I came down off that hill so that I could stand with the rest of Portland because most of us as black community members were scared to show up. And I could not allow myself or my sister's voice to go unheard. And the question we had the most was, why weren't you out there? There was a rally, a peaceful rally, right outside of City Hall. You could have laced up your Nikes, brought your wife and your daughter, and said, not in our town. Because you have a child, you have a duty as a parent, as a participant in the future of our you know, whatever, to stand up and let your daughter see that you took a stand, and you just did it. You guys let us fall flat. And then the officers that you sent out with their technology, that you guys are calling them the safe cities, that officer was so disrespectful to me when I got caught in the kettle and I didn't do anything because I was exhausted from being at OHSU for 24 hours. He asked me for everything under the sun. When I saw white people give a debit card, take a picture, and keep going, that man wanted a social security number, date of birth, phone number, and when I forgot my phone number because he's standing there threatening me, he told me I was going to be arrested. That's your technology that you guys are wanting for a safe city? It's not safe for people like me. It's not safe for people like Star, who is standing up, or Standard, who's standing up for people like me. We need resolutions that's going to affect the city right now. We can't wait for 2 months to come and testify. We don't have time for that. I've never been violent. I've never been outspoken in the city council. I've never been disrespectful, but I was basically billy clubbed and bombed at the park just for standing up because a lot of the black people in Portland are scared to death to come out and say anything. We would appreciate it if you lace your Nikes up and come out and say, we're not having that. We're not tolerating those things in Portland because that's what we need you to do. All this other stuff is irrelevant at this point.
Thank you, Dan. And just for the record, as I said earlier, this conversation is most certainly not over. I have questions, and I'm going to formulate those questions properly. If I've learned one thing in politics, it's not just asking the question, but knowing which questions to ask and how to ask those questions. So I am doing that. And I also did speak out very, very forcefully all last week on the issue of what was taking place in this city. And so I reject the notion that I was not present, that I was not heard. If you check the record, I was in the operations center as the police commissioner watching and observing. And that is the right place. That is the right place. No, that as the police commissioner, that is my responsibility to be in that center. No, excuse me. I have already called that out, and I support the U.S. Attorney's investigation of that incident, and that was not a Portland police officer. That was a Federal Protective Services officer who reports to Homeland Security, and as you will recall, they are the ones who issued the permit for Shrunk Plaza. And that was not a Portland Police Bureau action, and I do not support it, to be clear. Fair enough. Well, I answered your question, and you can take it or leave it. Sorry. Good morning. I don't make those calls. Sorry. Go ahead. If you'd like to testify, now's your chance. Please do not disrupt or I will have you removed.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Stan Schaefer. This techno-utopian vision sure sounds appealing, but I keep hearing this word deployed. I don't know that I want militarized language attached to it, since we have problems with surveillance and militarization with profound impacts for people of color and other vulnerable groups. activists have been targeted. Footage hasn't been shared with the police. We have police co-opting and asking for private citizens' access to their cameras. We need to know that their rights aren't going to be violated. I want to make a modest proposal. Police should be fully automated. The RoboCops I envision would be more like R2-D2 and less like Terminator or killer cyborgs. They would be programmed to not throw flashbangs directly at people or gas elderly and the disabled. They wouldn't gas people who have already been detained. Think about cops now. Currently, there is no human element. Instead of just being dressed as RoboCops, these real RoboCops can be programmed to tell the truth and share it with other officers so guys like Marshman aren't caught off guard not knowing that police illegally detained and ID'd people or that they got gassed after they were detained. RoboCops, I imagine, would be able to recognize a real Molotov cocktail and not overreact when they're being thrown. They could be programmed to actually inform the public about police activity instead of lie. The RoboCop version of the public information for the PBB could really be different. They could actually show the footage. They need to say, if there's criminal activity in Chapman Square, we want to know. We want to see that criminal activity because those bricks, they're not missing from the building like the police said. The RoboCops I envision would actually be neutral. We have evidence from the white supremacists that were here this week. They are really proud that the police didn't face them, but faced Antifa, anarchists, peaceful protesters such as myself. They were really encouraged by that. I can provide this for you. But anyway, we don't even know if the retraining that police officers get when they get out of line, we don't keep data on that. We need to keep data on that. We need this data accessed by the people. People could be crowdsourcing this stuff, analyzing this data, and looking for real innovations. We could be using cameras on these new RoboCops that I envision, cameras that are on all the time and that use algorithms like the Seattle Police Department has experimented with, which block out faces until there's actually probable cause. These are the kinds of things that a smart city would start looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. Originally, when you applied for that $50 million grant transportation, City of Portland was in the forefront to get that money. I sat up here and I said, if you mess around with the Kevin J. Duckworth Memorial, I don't want to see you get that $50 million. As you know, Paul Allen put up $10 million of that $50 million. My suggestion to the City of Portland, do not mess around with the Kevin J. Duckworth Memorial. Come up with the maintenance money to maintain it. Karma just costs you $50 million, and I can assure you the people involved in this will cost you a lot more. Now, as far as autonomous vehicles, massive unemployment to this city that we've never seen at the scale we'll see. We will have an anti-technology autonomous vehicle revolution unless you project out and understand we will need a universal basic income for all the people that will be unemployed because of technology in the autonomous vehicles. You have to implement that. You have to deal with the labor force out there, or this city will be turned upside down. You cannot take away their incomes, have them lose their homes, have them lose their cars, have them lose everything else, and go, well, it's in the name of technology. We've got five big corporations. They're going to be making all the money. And guess what? The city is going to be run over like Uber and Lyft did and take away half the other taxi drivers' income and jobs. Again, it is the city's responsibility to talk to them straight to their face and say, what are we going to do about all the unemployed people in this city? Yes, your incomes are going to go through the ceiling. You're going to make a tremendous amount of money. But how are you going to take care of the locals in this city? I didn't hear one speaker from transportation have any concerns on that whatsoever. We will have the largest mass unemployment created by autonomous vehicles that we've ever seen in this city, and it is your responsibility to put things in place and let the technology companies understand. It is your responsibility now to step up and explain what you're going to do, or you're not coming into the city. Take your autonomous vehicles, take them somewhere else. Do not create massive unemployment. That is your main concern right now. How are you going to prevent that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And that is an important subject. And I'll just shout out Elon Musk. I don't know if you've been reading some of the things he's been publishing on this subject. He's sort of an interesting guy because he's one of the leading proponents of both automation and a universal wage, because he agrees with you that increasing automation in many ways will lead to unemployment in traditional arenas, and therefore has also advocated for this universal wage. I find his writings worth, I think you'd find them interesting if you haven't already
If I
read.
May respond real fast.
Yes, certainly.
Elon Musk does look at things from a different position than a lot of the technology companies. He looks at benefiting the people first. He creates things that will do that, and we need to keep that in consideration when we're talking these autonomous vehicles. It must benefit the people first.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
That was all I was saying.
Very good. Any further questions, colleagues, follow-ups? Please call the roll.
Fish.
Thank you, Mayor, for bringing this forward and to the staff that presented, and I thought we had a good discussion. For me, when we look at these kinds of technologies and so-called disruptions, the question that I will come back to is, how does this technology serve people? And our world is becoming more complicated. We're getting these technological advances that no one ever contemplated. But are they really improving our quality of life? Or are they just adding a dimension of technological change to our world, benefiting a few and not the many? And so, having lived through the Uber experience, when I hear about disruptive technologies, I think we have to double down and be vigilant that we are protecting the interests of consumers and that we are not allowing people to come in and do an end run around regulators. And we have that experience, and we need to learn from it. So I'm grateful for the assurances we've received that there will be a level playing field in terms of our stakeholders, and I'll be interested in how this comes forward. I will say one thing as a cautionary note. We have places in our community that don't have built-up infrastructure because we haven't gotten around to putting in lights, traffic signals, or safety devices. We are now talking about adding a layer over our technology to allow autonomous vehicles to operate, which will likely be in the central city mostly. That's an additional level of investment in technology at the very in terms of our physical infrastructure at a time when we really don't have an equitable distribution of infrastructure citywide. And so I'll be looking at that very closely in terms of where we spend our money. But I appreciate we're getting in front of this so that we can dictate our terms as this technology moves forward. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mayor, for bringing this forward. It sometimes can be a challenge in our form of government to really focus a coordinated effort across bureaus and offices. And I'm confident that with the structure that was outlined to us today, we will be successful in overcoming that challenge and continue Portland's leadership role as an innovator. More importantly, our smart city efforts have the potential to improve our government operations, enhance Portlanders' access to city services, and provide greater transparency to the public. My office has been involved in this effort and will continue to be involved in this governance structure, and will play an active role in its implementation. And I am in particular excited about the potential of our smart city programs to produce what they can produce with regard to safety and mobility in our transportation system. So I'd like to thank the bureaus involved and also particularly the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and in particular Kevin Martin, for convening this effort and providing the leadership necessary, as well as Portland Bureau of Transportation Director Leah Treat. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioner Saltzman, for bringing this forward. I appreciate the leadership of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. The resolution names not only the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, but also the Bureau of Transportation, the Bureau of Technology Services, the Office for Community Technology, and of course I support all of those. It then says, and other city bureaus and commissioners' offices. So I'm certainly looking forward to having a representative from my office on this committee. Thank you,
Absolutely.
Mayor. I would also, I know that you have heard and Director Treat also has heard, I would encourage you to particularly involve the Office of Neighbourhood Involvement, the Office of Equity and Human Rights. And then in terms of the leadership within our community that can provide expertise that a lot of time just does not exist within our city structure, the Commission on Disability and the New Portland Policy Commission, I think, can be very helpful in structuring this, and as I mentioned, the Public Involvement Advisory Council. So we have these wealth of volunteers who work as hard as city staff without getting paid, and so I'm sure that they would be happy to help with you, and I'm glad you're nodding and acknowledging that too. Happy to. Aye.
Wheeler.
So this turned out to be much better and more provocative than even I had hoped it would. This isn't just about leveraging technology, as somebody said during testimony. Technology is changing at a rapid clip, and it is changing the way we work, the way we interact as a community, as individuals. And I'm mindful of what was just said with regard to the implications of increased automation on our basic understandings about economic prosperity, about employment. And I'm also mindful of the fact that one of the co-founders of Twitter 2 weeks ago basically conceded that the internet is broken. It really didn't turn out the way they expected. So here we have these huge trends, and I agree with those who say autonomous and linked vehicles represent one of the most significant technological shifts that have, I think, the most profound impact on our economy. And there's two ways to approach this, because we know it's coming. It is definitely coming. We can either wait for it to happen, and I would argue that in the case of the ride-sharing programs, Uber and whatnot, the technology was developed, it was rolled out, it was broadly adapted, and then governments all over the world tried to catch up from a policy perspective. And the reality is the results have been very mixed at best with regard to protecting the interests of the broader community. On this issue of things like autonomous vehicles, I want to get ahead of the curve. And programs like this give us an opportunity as a community, rather than letting technology happen to us, it gives us an opportunity to shape the arena. It gives us an opportunity to shape the playing field before the technologies are completely rolled out and already broadly adopted. So I think this is not only a good idea, I think this is an essential idea. And as you know, I agree with everything Commissioner Fritz said about let's go broad, let's include people, let's have the conversation community-wide. That's great. But I want to also put the marker out there, and my bureau directors, all of our bureau directors understand this. We have to figure out how internally in a fairly fragmented city structure we're going to work together and identify the priorities, communicate directly, identify the technologies, figure out how collectively we're engaging the community and actually achieving the goals, the lofty goals that are stated in this program. I'm going to agree with Mimi and Star on an important point. This can't just be talking points. This can't just be PR. This actually has to work. I would say this is one of the most critical things that we're doing with an eye to the future. So let's put some meat on the bones and do our level best to prove them wrong, and I'm sure they'd be appreciative if we could. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted.